Marketing, entrepreneurship, and all things small business. You're listening to the Profit 911 Podcast. Now, here's your host, Justin Miller.
All right, episode 46. We have almost a year's worth of episodes now.
We're rolling right along.
It took us 4 years, but we got there.
It's true. We're so close.
Maybe we needed some outside advice from some mastermind group members.
True. How to produce more podcasts.
Yeah. You hit record.
It's true. You just do it.
So we're talking about masterminds this time, not podcasts. And this is interesting because I don't think you really came across mastermind groups until you dug into what on earth I was doing. So I joined the first, what I would consider a true mastermind group. And it wasn't a true one, but I considered it to be, it'd be 10 years ago. It was 10 and a half years ago when my wife was pregnant with our first. It's the only frame of reference I have to when this occurred in history. And for the most part, I've been continually in groups ever since then, ranging in price from $10,000 to $25,000 a year.
Did you hear that gasp from all the people that are listening that were like, what?
And then they hear there's another group that's like 100 grand.
Yeah, there's always a bigger group. Yeah, there's always a bigger group.
So the question becomes, why? And by the way, the investments really double that because these groups meet in person. And you got to fly there and you got to have hotels. There. And that's not even counting like the time away and the opportunity cost. So, you know, I remember the first one I signed up for the most, which was Peak Performers, which was part of GKIC, Dan Kennedy's kind of group at that point in time. And I think it was 12 grand to sign up for. And, you know, I'm doing the math. I'm like, oh, this thing's got three meetings. I got to fly there. You know, this sounds a lot like 20 grand. And, you know, I had the DJ business at that point. I don't think it was in its prime at that point either. And it was a questionable business decision.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, even then or now.
I felt a lot of pain when I filled out that order form. But, you know, I felt that, okay, this is, you know, another avenue I haven't tried. Let's see what's going on. And the leader of that group at that time was Lee Miltier, who I'm good friends with now. But at the point in time, I didn't really know her. I'd read some of her stuff. And Lee will admit that she's more energy spiritual than I am. I'm pretty much the opposite. So we make good friends. But, yeah, I signed up for that kind of not knowing what I was getting into, looking for something different. And, you know, the concept of a mastermind is a lot of business owners, or not even a lot, but a group of business owners get together and work on each other, solving each other's problems. And that takes a few different forms. One of, you know, my favorite parts of those meetings, and I think everyone's favorite parts, are what's called hot seats. Hot seats are where you write down your challenge or opportunity. You get in front of the group, you present the challenge as concisely as possible, and whoever wants to can chime in with input. So, not unsolicited advice, solicited advice.
Well, there's a difference.
But you never know what you're going to hear, and oftentimes you hear answers to questions you did not ask. And I think this is just powerful, because you have a lot of people brainstorming on your business, and in that short amount of time, be it 10 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes even an hour in different groups. I think more breakthroughs occur in that format than you get in a year sitting around your office by yourself, or like me and you chatting on the phone or in text message.
Yeah.
You know, because you have focused effort on an intentional problem. And, you know, one of the groups I'm in now is Genius Network, which is not a true mastermind, but there is a mastermind element to it where we break out into groups of 4, 5, 6, and we do this, and everyone gets 10 minutes. And getting perspectives from people that are outsiders is huge. So this is one of the things as a consultant with the marketing agency here that, you know, unless you've been in our shoes or similar, it's hard to understand. But it's a lot easier to come in from the outside and look at someone's challenge and just, you know, find the solution.
Yeah.
And that's why we pay to be there. By the way, they're an interesting business model too. So everyone's paying to be there. Some of the masterminds, the group leader will have structured presentations. Some will just all be hot seats. Some are a mix of both. But all in all, you know, if you had good people in the group, you pay someone to lead the group. Also, you pay because if you don't pay, like, people don't give a shit. They don't take it seriously. So
yeah.
When everyone pays, they're there. And you could just get those people in a group, and you could do structured hot seats, try and maintain control of it, and I think it'd be incredibly valuable. In fact, I think we'll build it into whatever workshop we have.
There you go. Do you feel like the first time you did a hot seat on your own, did you, even though you were getting people that were helping, did it seem daunting, like they're just going to shred me? Or is it like you were just like, great, now I'm going to get the answers to my questions?
Actually, something very different happens is your brain doesn't want to even allow the answer or find the nugget in the answer. Because you may have tried something similar to what they suggest, so you may instantly think, oh, that won't work, that won't work. Mm-hmm. And you'll come up with 8 million reasons why it won't work. And that's fine, but somewhere in there, there was, you know, probably a nugget that would work. So most of the times when you're doing hot seats, people record them and we'll transcribe and go back to them.
So later when you are more clear in your thinking or you're outside that, well, that won't work, you can listen to it for a second or third time and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, or maybe you're at a different point in a business or a different problem, and all of a sudden, oh, that makes sense now.
Yep.
Because everyone's coming at it from different experiences, different business scales, different industries, and some is bad advice, truly. You do, ultimately, it's your tail on the line. You do have to filter through and pick what serves your purpose, because they're probably reflecting what they see as the ideal outcome, which may not be the same as you. I think we should launch one of these. So, by the way, they're a pain in the ass to manage.
Is it because of the personalities involved or just the logistics?
You got both, right? So you got some logistical things. You got a bunch of business owners that are used to being in charge. Even coming with the best of intents, they're hard to manage and control.
Yeah.
It's also, there's virtual and there's in-person. So one of the groups I'm in right now actually has kind of weekly Zooms.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very difficult to get value out of that format.
I would say.
I've been in multiple groups like that before.
I mean, we've talked about that in a previous episode, that it would have to be like someone super important to me to be able to always be locked in on that. It just doesn't allow you to be really keyed in. There's no emotion to it.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying, right?
Yeah, like, but...
Like we're there. We're going through the motions, and we will provide good input, but there's...
Well, some would say an idea is an idea. Why can't you, if you can get a good idea in person, you can get it over Zoom.
Yeah.
There's something about the Zoom concept, though. Maybe you're not as open to it. So you're just kind of, even if you're paying for it, you're kind of going through the motion. There is something to be said for being in person and being able to talk to somebody, have a human interaction, have a beer. There is something. You let your guard down again.
I think it lands differently. So yeah. It might not even be on the solutions presented. Those might be exactly the same, presented the exact same way. But I think it's received different.
Mm-hmm.
Also, well, we have Zoom, so we have cameras now, so you get some of the nonverbal. But you have a lot more context even for that nonverbal when it's not an isolated hour in time out of someone's day.
Yeah,
I think in communication, they'll start talking about that. Maybe they already do, but, you know, it always used to be like, oh, over the phone and email. Over the email, you don't get tone and yada, yada, yada. Over the phone, you don't get the body language. I'm going to say over Zoom, you don't get the context surrounding the conversation.
Yeah.
I think there's a whole another level to that because, you know, you can feel someone's energy when they walk in a physical room. Like, you can tell if someone's having a shitty day.
True.
You know, I can walk in my shop and know if something bad happened before I arrived.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
Yeah.
Occasionally does. They could hide it for a Zoom call. Yeah, you could.
You could hide it for an hour.
Put up the wall, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and by the way, most people that pay to be in these groups, like, there are good ones and bad ones, but I've been lucky to be involved in mostly good ones, and most people don't put up the front for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the fake.
Well, if you're paying good money to be in something, eventually you're going to let your guard down and, like, be real.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not a country club.
So you're saying that a mastermind's just not a great way to make a bunch of money?
Oh, to host one? I don't know. I mean, there is money there. It's not in my enjoyed skill set, I can tell you that. I'd much rather participate than host. But I can facilitate if need be. And we certainly could work it into an event where it's just part of the event. That'd be no problem. I don't know. Have you actually been, a part of any similar groups or pitched to be in them or?
Trying to remember. I don't think I've necessarily have been in any, in that particular, you know, exact definition. I tend to do more like training stuff where I'll pay to be coached by someone individually, or I'll pay to be in a program that I can follow online or in person. But I have been, I think I've been pitched before by some of the ones that you've been in, like the, one you just mentioned it a couple minutes ago. Like the second one you said in.
There was Peak Performers, which later became Renegade Millionaire. Dave D has a group. I'm in Genius Network. I've been in a bunch of these things.
I'm trying to think of what it was, because it was 3 or 4 years ago, and I was like, this is not a bad idea.
It might have been part of when GKIC was still around.
That's probably what it was.
So they had various levels.
Yeah, then there were more. There were a couple levels, and you could get in, and you'd get some info. It's like every level, just a little more access based on what you spend.
Yeah, well, and honestly, the only real difference, it may be the facilitator, but also the amount of money people spend to be in the room is a different type of person.
Yeah.
You know, like the Genius Network is $25,000 to be in the room, which is a large amount of money for anyone. And you're supposed to have a business doing at least $1 million in revenue. A lot of the rooms way, 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 way beyond that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that sets at least a minimum criteria for some frame of reference.
Makes sense.
But you still will hear some pretty basic challenges. I mean, everyone's good in their own area, right? So when I say that, I mean someone has a super basic marketing challenge. I'm like, how on earth did you hit your revenue figure without figuring this out yet?
Yeah.
But that's that outside frame of reference. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So I can come in and provide some good insight on a marketing problem, and then, you know, I don't know crap on the other end, you know?
Well, if there's a variety of people and each one has a specific thing they're really good at, you could get a lot of information. Yeah, for me, so I haven't necessarily joined one. I would gravitate towards like, you can join our mastermind for this, or for $97 a month, we'll send you our newsletter every month and access to these videos online. Yeah. I always gravitate towards that because I think there are several things that I'm like, I need to learn this. It's like to get into watching where you had been and actually being able to go through like records in the office after I bought your business. I'm like, he's done all this training, this and that. And I'm like, wow. Probably I'd like to learn about some of those methods, but I'm going to start at the bottom and learn or relearn what I know about marketing and kind of, you know, I'd always heard of Dan Kennedy and these kind of things. And I was like, who is this crazy old guy and all this stuff? And, you know, it'd start with a book or two. Then it would be like, fine, sign up for the $97 a month and get this. And I continue with that for, you know, 3 or 4 years. COVID, I just stopped everything. I'm like, whatever.
I mean, the other issue now is my learning bias a little bit too. So I don't have the study ethic I used to.
Mm. Is it because you feel like you're in a spot where you don't need to learn as much?
No, absolutely not. I just have a lot of head clutter, things going on, things coming from so many different angles that being able to focus and study is just not going to happen.
Okay.
But I can put myself in a room for 2 days and focus in that environment with other people, enjoying the conversations.
It's like forced focus for you, as opposed to like you're just so much going on in the day to day that I'm the same way. I think I'm learning stuff, and I'm like I go back and reread that all over again. I don't remember anything that I just, you know.
Yeah, and this is coming from excellent student, right? As a 4.0 student all through college, but I don't have it anymore. Like. That has waned. My attention span definitely has dwindled.
I think everybody's has. The way of the world is like that. I don't like that. I'm trying to wean myself off of that. Like we've set in our house, it doesn't work very well, but we've set like, let's put our phones down at this point in the day. Yeah. And it's great until everyone's like, are we done with this right now? Can we just go get our phones? We try that on Sunday after church, have lunch, and let's do a text-free, social media-free afternoon. And by 5 o'clock, we're all like, let's go check our phones.
You know? I mean, my brain's probably completely rewired for short-form content.
Yeah, well, and that's also become what every social media platform is doing. I mean, I mean, long form content, when you see it now, the funny thing about that is when I see good long form video content, I eat it up. I love it, like ice cream. I'm like, this is great. I will sit and watch all 22 minutes of that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe 10% of people that started this podcast episode are hearing this part.
That's right. At 15 minutes, they're like checked out.
So
you're right.
The ones that are here are going to get this, but yep. I'm not consuming that. You know, it's everything's.
Do you feel okay with that? Do you? I mean, you feel bad about it, or you're like, it just is what it is.
It is what it is.
You're ambivalent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adapt, overcome. Doesn't matter. But I watch it like, and it's training style too. So when I'm trying to teach or train staff and we're in staff meetings, it's quick segments. Like once a year do we do a focus day and a full day of training and development. Other than that, it's snippets every week.
Yeah, because you can't shove a day's worth of stuff down their throat every month.
Like even putting a 15-minute video on is very rare. Like we'll watch 2, 3, 5, 10-minute clips, but anything beyond that is.
And it's crazy, too, because that's, I mean, 15 minutes really isn't that long. But you're right. I am the same way. I just have a very short. It's, I might call it, it's a YouTube social media thing. I mean, it just.
Yeah, it's make your decision up in 5 seconds and scroll to the next one.
That's right. Boom.
Yeah. Boom.
Your podcast should be 7 minutes long or 47 seconds long, one or the other.
All right. Well, that means we got
two
podcasts here. And let's boom to episode 47. So we're going to wrap this one up. I don't think we probably did this one justice on Masterminds, but find your tribe.
If somebody wants to, I mean, where do you recommend if someone really wants to look? Is it easy to find if I'm a carpet cleaner or if I'm I make pastries for a living? Or is it like...
So there's industry specific and there's mixed bag. I like mixed bag. I like different business industries represented. Otherwise, I think you get groupthink because there's already industry norms in every industry. But you can certainly start there because undoubtedly there's someone consulting in your niche that has launched some sort of mastermind component. You can start your own if you want. Just realize that there's got to be skin in the game. There's got to be money exchanging hands and you got to take it seriously. I mean, I did a hunt for this, so... When Russell Brunson bought out Magnetic Marketing, you know, kind of the group I was in dissolved, and I was hunting around. That's how I ended up at Genius Network, actually. You know, I was looking for high-level mastermind groups. So it kind of depends where you're at. I'm sorry for the vague answer, but everyone's going to have a little bit different need. And if all else fails, you know, start your own. Find five, ten people. Exchange money.
As I say, getting together and go having some pizza and a couple drinks with five of your buddies in the same business or in different businesses, if there's no skin in the game, it's not really a mastermind.
I mean, that's awesome, too, and it certainly serves a purpose, so do it.
Yeah.
But don't
confuse. That's networking, basically. I mean, it's not, you know, but really the money aspect of it makes it a mastermind what it is.
Yeah.
Because you care, because you have money in it.
Yeah, you might actually show up to a Zoom meeting if you're making it a Zoom meeting.
True.
Free Zoom meetings are pretty hard to get people on.
True.
But yeah, you're going to have to do some hunting. You might come in and out of a couple groups. I would start by asking people that you admire where they're plugged in.
That's a good point.
Say, hey, where are you connecting? If they're not connected, get some new friends and find where they're at.
That makes sense.
I mean, you got to buy some pretty expensive friends at some point is what it comes down
Sounds
to.
Sounds like at some point you're spending some money one way or the other.
Yep, it is. And it's, you know, the spending's not fun. It's not actually a check I enjoy writing either.
Yeah, but even after all this time, you know the result is there. You know it's worth it, and you still have a hard time writing that check. Because it's just the dollar amount?
Yeah, I mean, the dollar amount matters. Honestly, at this point, yeah, the dollar amount matters. So let me just leave that as its own solid point. But it's also a time commitment. You know, things are pretty busy, and everyone would say that their things are busy. So I get it. But... yeah, things are pretty crazy, and I'm in multiple groups right now, so that's probably a no-no as well, at least out the gate. You know, you focus hard into one, give it all you've got, and you'll get more out of it.
But, yeah, but what you're not saying is that you dread writing the check because you're not sure it's going to work. What I hear is that it's expensive and it's time-consuming.
Oh, you got to be willing to just
But it's definitely
money.
Worth it. But
so, Yeah, I have an added benefit, too, that most of the groups I'm in, I can gather business out of directly.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't the case on the first mastermind groups I joined, the business I had at the point in time. And it's a lot harder to write that check then. You know, to me, it's a marketing expense, not a professional development expense. However, if you come in with that attitude, it's a shitty attitude, and it probably won't work for you anyway.
But
writing the check sucks in cash flow, you know. $25,000 check is still really freaking hard to write at any given point in time because, we're not great at budgeting 6 or 12 months in advance.
No. Yeah. That's a lot of money no matter what your revenues are. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. So write the check or have others write you the check. If you got the time and not the money, have others write you the check and just launch the damn thing. Good will come from it as long as you have good people in it. If you get trolls in it, kick them out of the damn group, give them their money back.
Makes sense.
All right, that's the end of our masterminds. We'll be back episode 47? I don't know. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Profit 911 podcast. Be sure to subscribe and leave your comments. For more information on how Profit 911 Consulting can help grow your service business, visit profit911.biz.